Let's all stand together as we have our invocation. We have a volunteer for our invocation this morning and then for our pledges.
I'll lead the prayer, Judge.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you, Lord, for this blessed day. We thank you for all the blessings that you've bestowed on Montgomery County employees, their families. The judge and his recovery has been very speedy. Thank you for that. We ask that you would be with our first responders, our military, folks that make this possible to do what we do. Thank you for everything that you do for us, and we have love for you, Jesus. Mm. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. And for our pledges, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands,
one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God,
one and indivisible.
Thank you. All right. Let the record reflect that all members are present. We have a motion to approve the Commissioner's Court agenda today, please.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Have any citizens who would like to make comments today? All right. Let's move on. We have a proclamation, a resolution, if you will. And it is a resolution that has to do with our firefighters who were commissioned from Conroe, Caney Creek, North Montgomery County, South Montgomery County, Porter, and Needham Fire Departments, who answered the call for assistance by sending crews and apparatus to California to help out with what was needed there. And there is a special event that is going to be coming up in the very near future for them. But in order for us to move forward on this, I'd like to have a motion to approve this resolution for our firefighters.
Second.
All in favor?
Uh-huh.
Opposed? Motion carries.
We have the resolution?
I have it right here.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Would you like me to read it? It's not a long resolution, and I'd be glad we have copies of it right there for everybody to take a look at and for everybody to sign.
I'd kind of like to hear what it's got to
say. Here's what it says. Whereas the 2020 fire season in California has produced six of the largest wildfires in that state's history, along with several additional major fires, and whereas on September 11th, 2020, Texas Governor Greg Abbott announced 190 firefighters, 50 fire trucks, 10 command vehicles, and 56 departments in Texas to be deployed to California, and whereas firefighters from Conroe, Caney Creek, North Montgomery County, South Montgomery County, Porter, and Needham Fire Departments answered the call for assistance by sending crews and apparatuses to California, and whereas fueled by dry vegetation, high winds, and unseasonably hot weather, multiple fast-moving wildfires broke out in August and September 2020, burning more than 4 million acres, making the 2020 the single most destructive wildfire season in California history. And whereas Montgomery County fire crews were assigned to multiple strike teams and worked on a 24-hour rotation, cutting brush, setting backfires, establishing the perimeter in mountainous terrain, and working exhausting hours in perilous conditions, and whereas in answering the call of duty during this catastrophic crisis in California, the fire personnel from Conroe, Caney Creek, North and South Montgomery County, Porter, and Porter. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Commissioner's Court at Montgomery County, Texas, hereby commend the members and departments deployed to California for the 2020 wildfire season for their bravery, skills, and dedication, and extend to them sincere best wishes for the future. And be it further resolved that an official copy of this resolution be prepared for each of the departments listed as an expression of high regard by the Commissioner's Court of Montgomery County, Texas.
I appreciate you doing that, and I
yes,
think
sir.
It's something that we needed to do, was to read that out loud so we can
And I guess they all made it back safely.
Do we have some that are, some that came in and some that's out there now, or are they?
They're,
all of them are back, okay.
Thank you, Jason. This is an excellent resolution, I thought, as well.
Thank you, it was.
And we all will have opportunity to sign each of these to show our regard for our first responders. That's just outstanding. Thank you all very much, and thank you for that second and that vote. County Clerk, do we have a motion to accept the minutes, both A and B in our items today?
Yes, move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, do I have a motion to accept the consent agenda as presented?
Judge, I'd like to move one item, and that is on page 4, number 9, consider and approve closing the following capital fund project, CO 2012. I just want to know
where is that
a little bit
now?
More about that particular item. Make sure that that is going to, well, that's on page.
Is that top of the page?
Yeah, number 9.
Number 9, okay. We'll bring that up. All right. Are there any other items that we would like to have moved from consent to our open agenda? If not, then do I have a motion to receive, to accept the agenda as presented with modifications?
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Let's move into our open agenda. Considering the first item then would be, which would be from page 4 of 10, would be item 9, consider and approve closing the following capital project fund, certificates of obligation series 2012. Commissioner Nowak.
Yes, sir. How much? I just want to make sure that we have an exact dollar amount of how much is going to be closed out of that obligation and how much is going to be placed into the debt service fund for all to know.
Yes, so this is a part of the proceeds of the 2012 certificate of obligation that was still sitting on the books to the tune of about $461,000. The entire fund, the entire amount is going to the debt service fund balance, and out of which part of it will be used as a proceed as far as the refunding that's having that $23.6 million that's going on the sale today. And the reason why we had to close it is because based on the best practices in the conversation with our financial advisor, if you have a bond issuance or even a certificate of obligation, the best practice, again, based on GASB, is to make sure that we expend the majority of it within the first 3 years, and we've been watching it closely, and based on his advice to us, we put an agenda item of the court to close out to the debt service fund balance.
How much is it exactly?
$461,000.
Even?
Let me go back at my computer.
And then, just so you guys know, while Rakesh, if you want to look that up, the departments, there were a couple of departments that this did affect where they had CIP projects that were funded with these projects. We have reached out to those departments to let them know that, you know, their project is going to either have to be, you know, put on hold or funded a different way. We've had those conversations. We're not ready to give any advice on how it should be refunded or anything, but me and Rakesh will bring something, or Rakesh and I will bring something back at a future court date to kind of update the CIP plan and let you guys know where those projects should be funded from or
okay.
If they should be funded.
The exact amount is $461,876.40.
Thank you very much. I think that's an excellent move to make certain that we are always in compliance.
Yep.
And that's going back in the fund balance?
Into the debt service fund balance.
Thank you, Rakesh. Thank you, Court.
All right. All right, as we move on,
Did we move on that?
Yeah, we already moved on it, didn't we?
Oh, okay. I don't know.
Well, then we need to move on it. Thank you.
Move.
Commissioner, is there a second? All in favor?
Uh-huh.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. All right. That's the end of our consent. Now is into our open, as you know. Item 11A, I'm going to defer that for right now, item 11A. And then let's move on. It's under me, the county judge. I would like to defer that. Let's move on to emergency management, item number 12. Jason?
Good morning, commissioners and judge.
Morning.
A couple items here. The first one is a resolution order that would authorize IT and OEM to facilitate purchases and installation of equipment for the convention center, which is being converted into a courthouse, essentially, so we can operate safely under the court's order, the jury operations order that's currently in effect. These upgrades and the installations are going to be paid for out of CARES funds.
What are we doing again now?
So I'll answer briefly if there's any specifics. We have an item in executive session where we can get into the specifics if you need specifics. But as part of the jury operation plan that's been signed by Judge Gilbert in compliance with the Supreme Court order of the state and the Office of Court Administration from the state of Texas, they have to provide a number of so much space per juror because they have to bring in 200 to 300 people at a time for jury voir dire. And in order to facilitate that, they're moving that jury operations to the convention center to spread them out. In order to do that, we have to secure that facility as a courthouse because it is not currently in that position.
Are we certain that we are going to start the process of voir dire and actually calling in these jurors? When are jury trials supposed to start?
They are actually having jury trials now. Judge Laird had a jury trial last week. Judge Gilbert's got one this morning.
What are they doing right now?
Well, there certain trials require less jurors, prospective jurors, to be brought in. Some of that's been accommodated in their current court house. The larger trials, and we've got a very large trial coming up, a capital case, it's going to take a pretty large jury pool in order to get through that voir dire. We've got a number of those that are backlogged and stacked up, ready to move as soon as we can open this facility for that plan.
And so I don't want to talk about courthouse security issues, but I do want to know what items are being purchased that are technology related that are specific to.
So part of that requirement, I'm sorry to cut you off.
Just specific to, audio, video.
Yes, sir. There's a lot of that involved in this because under the plan, each prospective juror being spaced out needs to be able to answer questions to the respective attorneys, asking the voir dire questions, any questions from the judge. They also need to be able to hear what's going on, potentially see things, audiovisual presentations and things like that. So there's a lot of technical, besides the security aspects of stuff that are going in order to accommodate that. They basically have to turn that each of those rooms in that facility into a courtroom as well.
How much will this be total?
The total cost for all security and IT stuff is going to be $800,000. Thereabouts, so it's not to exceed $800,000. So we believe it's going to be just under that, but
what's
I wanted to give ourselves a cushion.
What's that going to do to the leasing of the facility to the public?
So Terry has been very accommodating. It has not affected her operations at all. It will not, of course, be on the weekends, and it will not lead into a Thursday or a Friday, which prevents her from being able to stage events for the weekend leases. Terry's been very accommodating. She's worked with the plan to accommodate this.
So. Okay. What's it do to our Christmas luncheon?
Will not affect the Christmas luncheon.
Wow.
And we look for the most, even though this is CARES Act money, are we looking for the most cost-effective way to make this happen? I mean, $800,000 for temporary use.
Yes, sir. So here's one of the, try not to get into the security parts of it, but some of these items will eliminate the additional overtime that's going to be long-term needed at this facility with the Sheriff's Department. And as you know, CARES funds stops on December 30th. This plan could be extended well into next year, and that's going to be county funds having to pay for that overtime when that starts, and this will eliminate the use of that in some regard because of the technology that will be brought to that for securing the facility.
All right. Any more questions?
No.
Second?
Second.
Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you, Judge. Item B is a invoice we have from Safeware for N95 mask for $76,000. This is to give us additional stock for as we move forward this year and next year. So we have these for our first responders and our departments and agencies that will require these masks.
Move.
Second. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Item number C.
Item C is based off of about a month or so ago, we ran a number of contracts through the court reimbursing a couple of our school districts for some technology costs. During that conversation, Commissioner Metter indicated that he would like to see some additional funds brought to the school districts to cover other expenses that were not covered under those contracts. Commissioner Metz also agreed to that. So the CARES Committee, we've been working with the schools to ascertain their expenses and try to get a handle on how much this would be. And in the process, the Treasury issued new guidance last week on October 19th that made this job much easier for us. And in that updated guidance, they basically say, and I'll paraphrase, that they deem administratively appropriate any amount under $500 per student, registered student at these school districts from CARES funds to be approved and appropriate use of funds. At $500 a student, we would spend more than we received, so that was not even an option. So we started looking at number of school districts, what we expected them to have spent based on what they were already giving us in feedback, and we kind of came up with a dollar amount, a per student dollar amount that sort of gets us very close to reimbursing them for their actual COVID-related expenses that would be approved under that plan. If you approve this item, that dollar amount could be any less, any more than $40 per student. We set it at 40 just for the purposes of notification, but the court can dictate to us how you want it done. It will be administratively handled through the auditor's office and the judge's office. We'll get the contracts through the county attorney, get back to the school districts, get them to certify that they have not received funds in excess of $500 per student, and issue reimbursement to them fairly quickly and get
from
our
other sources, right?
From any source. Yes, the school district's going to have to certify they have not received up to $500 per student from all sources, COVID, CARES funds related. That's state sources, federal sources, and local sources.
This goes through December 30th?
This will be covering them from the period of March 27th all the way through the year. Yes, sir.
Okay. How much?
We have a number now?
$40. It's a rough number because we're still waiting to get the certified enrollment numbers from the districts. But what the auditor's office was able to obtain last week on the certified number at the $40 amount would be $4.4 million to all the school districts in the county that are solely 100% contained within the county.
I mean, some commissioners may have been contacted by their school districts seeking money, but I can tell you I haven't heard a word out of Conroe asking for this. So why would we just proactively try to spend these funds when we don't know, one, if they need it, two, if they want it, and three, I guess you say we have some guidance now, but my issue with CARES funds is the fact that this county is likely to be on or will be on the hook for any expenditures that are not in compliance at the end of this. And anytime you go through an audit with the federal government, they always find something you didn't do right.
Sure.
And I don't, it's like going to the doctor. They're going to find something wrong with you. And, the best job that we do, we're still likely to have something clawed back. And it could be a small amount or a large amount.
Yes, sir.
And well, I want to make sure that any contracts that we write, including this one, to the best of our ability, says that
we will have clawed back. Yes, sir.
Clawed back.
Yes.
That we are going to the ISDs and we'll do everything we can to make them pay as well.
One of the nice things about this guidance is it covers us for the schools only. Now, when it comes to having the same conversation about reimbursing cities or our emergency service districts for their expenses, they're going to actually have to provide documentation to show their expenses, and Rakesh's auditing team is going to have to verify that it meets the guidance. As far as in the schools concerned, the U.S. Treasury's guidance has given us an administrative presumption that as long as it's under $500 per student in the school, there's a large list that they've listed out that's allowed to be used, and that includes personnel costs, increased technology, hiring new teachers, developing online curriculum, acquiring computers, digital technologies, transportation costs, and providing meals. As you know, all of our school districts provided meals throughout the summer and the early spring when they were not in school. There's a number of costs these districts have incurred across the board that's eligible for reimbursement under this program, and this is not going to make them whole by no means. One school district in particular, in Commissioner Metz's district and his precinct, sent us a letter a couple of weeks back that they had incurred about $1.8 million in expenses. Based on their certified student number, we're going to get them about a third the way there under this program. It will not make our districts whole.
It will help, and they
correct,
definitely need it. And Commissioner, I have heard from Conroe School District Superintendent Noe and Harkrider and Willis, so they're scratching around trying to see what they can find to cover the expenses that they've had for this pandemic. And I think it's a good use, and it sounds like it's already been approved by the Treasury, and
yep. Treasury's just blessed it, and it's up for us, up to the court to approve.
I think it's a good move.
Well, I did. I reached out to my cities and my school districts and they all have the same concerns. They've all had to spend money on electronics and food and daycare. You just name it. They've had to spend money that they usually don't spend. So
right.
They can use the money.
We also have approved monies to go to the schools on a number of issues. And because I've talked to Curtis and all and a number of people about these issues. And so it's not that we haven't. I think that I think that Commissioner Nowak is correct, is that we absolutely want to be careful that we're not going to be facing clawbacks in the
right.
future, of which I think we've done a pretty good job with that. That's one of the reasons why one of our major programs we were going to move forward with, we chose not to do it, but because we just couldn't get the information on it. But on these kinds, we have a little more information, and they've offered these to us as well to go out there and make this happen. So it's a little bit different than just creating another program. Let's figure out a way to spend it.
Where does this put us on how much we have spent out of the money that we've got?
I don't want to quote numbers direct, but as of the last amount that was sent off to the Treasury for our self-desk audit, I believe we had $83 million left to expend. $73 million, excuse me, and we have not reimbursed our law enforcement and public safety expenses for quarter three of this year or quarter four yet. So,
I move.
Second.
Discussion. Any more discussion?
For clarification, is the motion as written at $40?
Yes, $40.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. And our final item, consider and discuss.
Consider and discuss and approve the purchase of rapid COVID tests from Next Level Urgent Care for the Montgomery County Wellness Center, an amount not to exceed $180,000.
Right. Have a motion. Second. All in favor?
Uh-huh.
Opposed?
Justin, I'd ask, and maybe this might be for Chris, I'd ask some time back, you just mentioned it about the reclassification on those funds. I'd like to know where we're at now, because I'd ask to do that
each quarterly. Yes, sir.
Commissioner, can we finish this motion? Then let's talk about that. We're in the middle of a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Commissioner, you're on.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, Rakesh was finalizing the amount to make sure it was set, and it'll be for quarter three, and then we'll do quarter four here shortly after
okay,
that.
Okay, that'll work.
On yes, that sir. Same note, Jason,
yes, sir.
Judge, Commissioners, when we do move to reclassify those future dollars, I've talked with the county attorney's office, and I'd like some sort of way for us to set this money aside in a restricted account for us to sit on for a number of years, maybe 5 years.
So what we're talking about is maybe noticing an agenda item to talk about what to do with expended law enforcement funds on the next court agenda.
Okay.
Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, I want to make sure that we also include getting some feedback from the attorney's office on a way to make sure that money's there until the final audit.
Until the audit's complete, yes, sir.
Okay.
I'll be happy. And that way, as we just sit on it, and they are clear that we can keep the interest if we do that.
And also,
and would protect us from a future charter
right.
back. That's correct. Exactly right.
But and also, as far as fiscal 2020 CAFR presentation, it'll be restricted. It'll be shown as a restricted. It won't be a clear unassigned just yet.
Good.
And last one, I don't need action today, but the committee is still working with our ESDs in the various cities across the county to get their expenses to bring back to the court so we can have a similar discussion on reimbursing them for their incurred costs as well. We have not obtained enough information from them just yet to bring that to court. So
that'll be an item.
Yes, it'll be a future item. Yep.
Noticing correct. An item for
absolutely.
A later court agenda item. Thanks.
Yes. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you, Jason. Purchasing. Gilbert? Good morning.
Morning, Gilbert.
Morning, Gilbert. Good morning. This is a consider and approve a service change order number 3 from Infor Public Sector pursuant to 2016-0038 for $7,944.
Move.
Second.
Do you need a funding source or do you have
no,
one?
No, sir, we have it. Right? we have it. Yes,
all right, any more discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Amanda?
Good morning, Judge Commissioners. I have really quick, I'm going to go over the carryover list for 2020 into 2021. Again, every year we have in the budget policy that departments, if they have leftover funds and they need to, that they have to reach out to the budget office to get those funds carried over. We don't automatically do those carryovers. Have had several departments reach out to us for those carryovers. So I just want to go through the list real quick. The DA's office requested all of their funds outside of their salary and benefits. So this is our operations, capital, and so supplies, services, and capital. They requested the whole amount, which was $82,477, for increased court costs because they expect, since they weren't as, you know, since some of the court cases got moved from, you know, for the calendar, that they went ahead to and move some of those funds, those cases to 2021, that they might have increased costs for those, witness expenses, et cetera. And then all of their trainings were rescheduled to COVID-19. And you'll see that COVID-19 has definitely been a big impact on the 2020 budget and going into 2021. A lot of specifically on the trainings, professional development, training and travel, a lot of, there's quite a few departments that reached out saying, look, we weren't able to do our travel and training, our trainings in 2020. We expect to have to double up in 2021, but we only have the funds to do 1 year's worth of training. So could you, you know, move the training dollars over? So that's what you're going to see most of these requests are going to be for. So for the DA's office, I recommended to go with the $50,000. I think that's sufficient. They did get quite a bit in their budget this year, and I think the $50,000 will cover what they need plus their additional training. Building maintenance, this is their every year thing. Every year they have their current and pending interdepartmental, so departments that send over money to them to build furniture, et cetera. They had $107,000, a little over $107,000 left in that account. We're asking to, you know, move over the whole amount. For CPS, so the CPS department did reach out to us. This is the county-funded portion. They requested that all of their leftover funds be moved over to 2021. That request was $67,393. I recommended $30,000. The reason I recommended the $30,000 is their whole budget is about $68,000. So if we were to move everything from 2020 over to 2021, it would almost double their budget, which just seems like a lot right now. And so what I recommend is just to go with the $30,000. And then if they needed more funds because they had more placements, then we would come to the commissioner's court at that point for increased amount at that time. For JP3 and JP4, both of them had training, professional development. JP3 also had some overtime. I did remind them that their overtime, that some of their overtime visits related to increased workloads due to COVID-19, that might be eligible for the CARES Act, that we're kind of watching that. And so we reduced that from $11,150 to $7,500. And that is... both for JP4, the same thing. I didn't give them all of their training and travel, just a portion of it that I thought could cover them into the next fiscal year based on their historics. For Constable Precinct 5, they asked for, again, their training and professional development. Now, part of their professional development automatically has to be carried over because it is part of their TCOL money that they receive from the state. But the total on their travel and professional development is $8,443. I recommended the whole amount to be carried over. For Constable Precinct 4, they have both their enterprise lease agreement and a property lease agreement that they do with the EMC. And so they wanted to go ahead and see if they could get whatever the difference, because one of their enterprise lease did go up a little bit this year. So the difference between that and their rental agreement, which is the $7,180. For Constable Precinct 1, travel and professional development due to COVID-19, and then some professional services that I believe are related to some marine equipment. And that request was $15,884, and I looked at it and recommended to go with the $12,000. County Clerk's Office, this is for certified mailers, and then they have a revised remodel plan that they're going to be bringing you guys to court. That amount requested is $4,382, and I recommended the full amount. The next one, based on the fact that there was an agenda item scheduled for today, I recommended $100,000 coming from contingency from moving from 2020 to 2021, just to cover potentially the agenda item that the county judge had, along with, you know, just not funding the contingency as high as we have done in some prior years. The library, Commissioner Riley, this one is based off of the discussions with you guys during budget workshop, $25,000. Is what they have left over in their budget, and so that's the recommended amount. If you guys wanted to fund additional books, you could, since we didn't fund her initial request in the FY 2021 budget. For the county judge, judge's office, Judge Jason reached out to me and asked if any of the office supply money could be go ahead and transferred over to 2021, so in case they needed to buy additional supplies, again, related to your agenda item that was deferred today. For court operations, recommended $300,000. I have spoken with the last court operations report I did with OCA. They were actually really good for FY 2020. And so what we thought is since we did that amendment back in 2020, we wanted to go ahead and request the carryover for 2021, and this is in case the capital case, that especially the one that Jason just kind of talked about, in case some of those expenses come through, then that's going to obviously increase, you know, their average expenses. And so the $300,000 is just a buffer. I do still believe that they have adequate funds to for their 2021 budget, but again, this is a buffer in case the capital cases do go up. And then juvenile requested $5,000 to be carried over, and this is because we actually didn't budget for Judge Santini to, for the juvenile, the additional for the juvenile board. So that is the total request came out to about $740,000. Budget office recommended to carry over $661,000. Just to keep in mind too, though, so you have a heads up for the either the next commissioner's court or the next one following that, is I will have an agenda item depending on what you guys say today, for consent regarding the sheriff's office and moving their leftover carryover. If we remember, we talked about that in the budget workshop, that they would have their carryover to be used for their half of the range, so the sheriff's gun range. So that will be also an amendment on top of this that I'll have for 2021.
Where would the $661,153.41 go if we were not to approve this?
So all of it, so it was 2020 funds, so if it doesn't get moved over to 2021, it would go basically back into fund balance for 2020.
Which would help us in putting more back into fund balance since
yes.
we took
mm-hmm.
some out.
I have a question on CPS. You said that your statement was, okay, we've got $67,393 they're requesting, and you decided to go with 30, and the reason was because the $67,393 is pretty close to what their total budget is, correct? So what is their total budget? Do you have that number? And what is their budget this year? What was it last year? The only reason I'm saying is if that's pretty close to their total budget and they have that much over, are they spending any money on anything?
Exactly. Good question, Judge.
Judge, for 2020, their revised budget, I do know that there was an amendment done for carryover last year, but their revised budget in 2020 was $107,556. Their 2021 budget, and out of that 101, they spent about $40,000. Okay.
Okay.
For 2021, their budget is $68,450.
As opposed to the 107,550.
I mean, Amanda, are you still going?
Yeah, the reason I ask is because as I'm thinking about COVID and I'm thinking about the increase in activity, my first thought was, well, leave the money there. And then and to leave it at the 67, given the fact that we have an unusual year with COVID, you've got an increase in activity with kids and placements and all the rest. But then if they're spending, if we're talking about the total amount, that's what kind of threw me off there. And so based on what you've just said, the $30,000 is probably the right number.
Wait.
Any other comment on that? Do you understand where I'm going with that?
I think, yeah, you're exactly right. My question is, I mean, I understand some of these departments, building maintenance, you know, maybe some of the requests with the JPs and constables and library, but court operations at $300,000. There's been so much talk about court operations, and I just want to commend you on being correct with what we did last year. Remember, there was this whole kerfluffle about, oh, we're going to run out of money. Well, we actually didn't. There's $300,000 left. So thank you for making sure that that was right. And we funded them even more this year, I think $1 million more. I don't know why we would put $300,000 in there now. We can just move that money, sit on it, and wait. So I'd be willing to make a motion for $361,153.41
Is part of that $300 for OCA training?
No, sir. This is actually for court operations. So OCA is actually, in the finance system, is a different department. So OCA's got their own department, and then court operations is their own department.
Indigent defense.
And court operations is basically indigent defense and some jury costs. So it is a little bit of a petit jurors, some food, jury food, stuff like that.
Some of that carryover due to COVID? Or, I mean, I'm like you, Commissioner. I don't know.
I think the question is yes, it is due to COVID, and they're put them way behind. You're going to have some expenses coming up here that are going to be huge.
So the judge is correct in that. So the difference with court ops in most of the difference in other departments is that court ops, it's based on a signed order, right? So if the signed order may have been signed in 1 year, if that signed order, even though the payment is due based on the signed order of the date. And so there may be a case that fell in 2020, but that order wasn't signed for indigent defense until 2021. And so if they had a lot of cases assigned in 2020, but then the attorneys didn't actually get assigned and paid until 2021, those actually have to come out of the 2021 budget. And that's what the OCA, that the Board of Judges kind of worried about, is there's this kind of lapse in payment. And that kind of hurt them. Not last year, but I think the year before. And so a lot of it is just depending on when those orders actually get, you know, because the auditor's office can't pay off of the...
And you watch it so carefully. And again, we put an extra $1 million in for this year already. I mean, I think if we just hold on to that $300,000 for now, and if they need it, obviously they get it. And just you come back to us and say you've worked with the judges and they need it.
Yeah, whatever it is, we've got to pay it. I mean, whether it's here or there, it doesn't really matter.
The only reason I did the $300 was it was a buffer, right? And the Board of Judges trying to also...
We don't budget buffers.
That's right.
You know, appease, you know, they are a little bit still concerned, even though I feel pretty confident in the number. They are still a little concerned about that number, and so I thought this would give them a little bit of...
But like I say, it doesn't, I mean...
I'm trusting in you.
Either way, you're going to have to pay.
Yeah, either way. I agree with you, Commissioner. Is that a motion?
Yes, so I made a motion to $361,153.41.
Amanda, refresh my memory on the library. What was the deal with the library? They were budgeted something, and they said they requested something else.
Okay, so with the library during the budget workshop, they sent in their budget. Their budget did not have any capital outlay in it, okay? So when I sent them their proposed budget, I gave them some capital outlay funds. It wasn't as much as the library normally gets, okay? And so the library, she wrote an email and she came up and told you guys, look, we did make the mistake that we didn't ask for any capital outlay, but what Amanda gave is really not enough. And so, Commissioner Riley, you said, well, let's look at what you spend in 2020, and based on what you spend in 2020, we'll look at potentially bringing some over to 2021 to cover some of those additional books that you're needing. She used all of her capital outlay money, so she didn't have any money left over in that area, but she did have some operations money left over, and that's what this is here, Commissioner.
Is that all the money she's got left in operations?
No, Commissioner, she is going to have about 60,000 left in operations.
60?
60.
Was her number 25? Is that what her request was, 25 for books?
It wasn't actually her. So her request was, that was the target that we thought she would have left, was going to be 25,000. And so that's the number that we gave, is the target that she thought she was going to have left. But then it came in a little bit more. Again, there's still some bills to be paid, but I mean,
I think
this is what now? What'd you say?
There could potentially, out of that 60,000, be some a few bills left to pay.
So the item. Excuse me, because we're on two different items here. We were on the court operations, and we switched over to the library here.
Well, we had a motion.
We have a motion and a second. 331.
Okay.
We got a motion second on the. Amount Amanda proposed less than $300,000.
Yeah. Because the discussion for me is, we have a motion, we have a second on the $300,000, and is that taken not giving them the $300,000 and sucking that back in?
My understanding is the motion is 361, 153, 41, the whole list minus court operations.
Correct, and you'll hold the $300,000.
With the understanding that
when they need it, they get it.
It's not, we don't do buffers, and I don't think that's a good word, but if they need it, we got to pay it. You know,
well, I guess my question is if we use that reasoning, help me, you guys don't mean to be argumentative here.
Yeah.
But if we use that reasoning, why don't we do that for all of it and just not give anybody anything and hold on to 661?
Well, I don't think the rest of these are actually a buffer. I think it's items that were delayed from one year to the next because of COVID, and especially the JPs and the constable, they have training that they have to do,
right?
And they couldn't, and they had to carry that over. I agree with Commissioner Nowak. I think it's a good number, and
I agree.
I want to again. I'm okay with it. I want to visit with the library about what they really need.
Well, give them some more money out of your budget.
I will.
He might have gave them. Like I did 50, give them. Some. Did y'all both?
Huh?
I said y'all both.
I didn't. At one point, yeah.
Huh?
So.
I help on books every year.
Yeah, Commissioner, I mean, I'm. It's up to you. We can hold the money, and if you want to meet with them, or if you want me to go with you to meet with them, I'm definitely willing to do whatever.
I
want to
do that. Let's me and you meet with them.
Okay.
We'll take that 25 out.
We'll leave it there.
We have a motion on the floor, so everybody knows, of the total amount minus the court operations. Are you going to amend that motion to pull out the 25,000?
No, we're going to leave it there.
Okay, so
we're going to move out. We're going to move the $300,000. That's the motion, right?
Correct.
Got a second.
All right. Okay. So we have a second on that. Is there any more discussion? Again, my question is, before we finish this vote, why are we shooting at court operations and not doing that with everybody? If that's what y'all want to do, we can. I would have to vote against that.
Okay.
I can't vote in favor of it myself, but if that's where we're going to go, let's go. So all in favor of taking the $300,000 out, turning to 361, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? I'm opposed. All right.
Thank
Moving
you.
On. Thank you, Amanda. We appreciate it so much. All right, at this time, we're going to recess Commissioner's Court and convene public hearings.
Mr. Chairman,
and Precinct 4.
Did Amy, you want me to take that?
Consider the partial revision to subdivision lot plats being described as partial replat lot 16, block 2, section 2, Peach Creek Plantation as recorded in Cabinet C, page 1156 of Montgomery County, Texas, to be known as Peach Creek Plantation, section 1, partial replat number 2. Is anybody here to speak about that? Notices were mailed. The HOA called for additional information, but they haven't filed any objections. The plat is not ready. So today is just the public hearing.
All right. Let's go ahead and then reconvene court. And I'm sorry?
No action.
No action taken. All right. Commissioners, Precinct 3, number 16. Commissioner Nowak.
Yes, if we could wait just a second for Commissioner Metter to come back. These issues are super important to
do that on both
commissioners, especially. And if we want to just go into executive session and come back and do it afterwards, I'm fine with that.
Okay, we can do that. Let's move to executive session, and then when we're done, we'll come back and we'll discuss Precinct 3.
Perfect.
All right, let's go ahead and do that right now. We're going to move into executive session. Court will recess for executive session pursuant to one or more of the following provisions of the Texas Government Code, to wit, Chapter 551, Subchapter D, Articles 551.071, 551.076. Thank you all. If you'll be patient, we'll be back in a few moments.
There's a lot of stuff to sign today.
All right, let's reconvene. As you know, we deferred to after the executive session under Commissioners 16A, so we're going to go back to that to complete that right now.
Perfect.
And that would be Precinct 3. Commissioner Nowak, you have the floor.
All right. Commissioners, Judge, For some time now, and Commissioner Metter, I wanted to make sure you were in here for this because I know you've been dealing with it for longer than any of us, but we are having an issue with utility providers and telecommunications, specifically those that install fiber, that are coming into the county right-of-way, and they're damaging the right-of-way and they're not fixing it. They are, in some cases, literally tearing up the roadways and leaving them a mess. They are not going through the proper procedures to make certain that they call before they dig, and they're continually hitting gas lines and water lines and cutting fiber. And it's to the point now to where we are dealing with this almost on a weekly, if not daily basis sometimes, and some of these providers are just terrible. And we've been working with the county attorney's office and Amy and John and BD and others on what can we do as a county, as a court, to try to have some sort of, you know, you can't really have a permit because they're excluded from them. We've tried that with the engineering department. But PAC actually put out some guidance that showed that there is a way that the county can charge a fee when they cut your road or they bore under the roadway. And we also want to talk about legal remedies against utility companies for failure to provide notice for construction, for blocking lanes without having traffic control plans, basically doing everything the way we would not do it. And so I kind of want to take both A and B at the same time and let either, I don't know if it's Amy or BD.
On A, I was hoping that maybe we could take it separately. Okay. So that we could set a fee because it's
when
a
you
not.
You say A and B, you mean A1 and 2?
16A1.
Yeah. Okay.
The Commissioner's Court has the ability to set a fee up to $500. And if you set it at $500, I'll bring a resolution back saying if you cut our county road, we're going to charge a fee of $500.
And that's something that we can adopt, and then
right.
That who would be responsible for, would each precinct just send out the bill themselves to that entity that either cut or bored the roadway?
Right. You could do it
way. If they fixed it back, would they get the fee back?
No,
if they fixed it properly, or is it just a fee for doing business with Montgomery County?
It's a fee for cutting the road.
Is it a fee that if they come to us with a plan, do they still get charged the $500? Or if we just go out there and they've cut the road, we didn't even know about it, we fine them.
So it can be charged either before or after cutting the road?
Yes, the idea behind the fee is for the county to build up a fund to help repair the roads that the utilities are cutting. So it's almost like a no-fault provision. It's a fee, again, to build up the fund. It's not saying that they're improperly, this particular
provision.
Part of it does not say they're improperly cutting the road. It just provides for the county, if it wants to set a fee for that, again, in order to build up a fund for road repair.
Right. This is optional.
I've always
and
heard
it,
that public utility PUC pretty much do what they want to.
Well, they have an absolute.
You don't have any control over.
They have an absolute right to put the utilities in a county roadway.
Right.
Okay. I want to ask a question.
Without any notice.
No, under the
no permit.
No permits required. Unlike a city, we can't permit it. But
well, under, at least if you permit it, you'll know it's there.
Right. But well, they are certain utilities, and most of them under Chapter 181 of the utility codes are supposed to provide the county with notice that they are going to put something in our right of way.
And they're supposed to have plans showing where they're supposed to go, and they're supposed to do it by those plans.
Yes,
and they
are.
Never do.
Correct.
That's what B is about.
And that's what B is about.
And every time we go cut a phone line or whatever we cut, they want to charge us to do that. I have not paid one bill yet, and I'm not going to if it's not where it's supposed to be. And that's all you got to do. When you cut something, ask them to see the plans, and it's never where it's supposed to be, and just tell them, duh.
We've had them run through culverts.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, they drill right, they damn sure do.
They just run it through a damn culvert.
Yeah. I'm all for setting the $500 fee up. I think it's great. I want to charge them for it.
I want to make sure that that's a way for us to be able. The problem is we have to go out and look at it. Our crews are out there. Somebody's got to go inspect it. Put this $500 away, and they, believe me, they can afford to pay it.
Well, I'm all for it, but I'm also all for how many times have they held up a job or a project because they won't move their utilities? We give them all this. We let them put it in our right-of-way because they supposedly they've got the right. But then when we need it moved, we waited 4.5 years to get utilities moved on 2978. 4.5 years.
Yeah. And they're still not all out of the way.
No, they're still.
Walden Road's a year
I'm
over.
Telling you, that's and there's nothing we can do about that, I've been told. Absolutely nothing.
Not on that particular issue, that's correct.
Okay, so.
So this,
do we have a motion? Y'all shouldn't have got me fired up on this.
No, I hate it. I'm not kidding. We went out. It got so bad on Rayford Road, and you can ask AT&T.
Okay, do we have a motion to move forward on this action?
Yes, move $500. I move.
Second. Yes.
Okay, any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Item number two. Now, we said we wanted to cover them both kinds.
Right. No, we need to separate them. But the second one is so that if you have a utility company who is out there, and I know that Commissioner Nowak expressed some extreme frustration by the residents in his precinct, and I know other precincts have had this as well, where they've had multiple issues by this same fiber utility company where they've shut down the road multiple times on the same job. They're not telling us that they're out there, and we find out because you're getting resident calls.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not doing it carefully. They're not giving us plans. We don't even know that they're there until someone says, hey, they have the whole road shut down again. And so when that happens, what we're asking is to not have to bring that to court. We're asking the court to authorize the county attorney's office to seek all available legal remedies at that point, whether that's a restraining order, a temporary restraining order, something that says, you know, this is your third incident, and we are tired of you shutting down our road because you're not doing it in compliance with our rules.
And a second. I'm so excited.
There a second? Any more discussion?
Well, yeah. There's a whole lot of discussion. We could talk about this. I mean, just like tearing up the ditches and tearing up any. I mean, they don't do anything like they're supposed to.
But
nothing.
What kind of teeth is this going to have? I mean,
none.
I know it's talk, it's verbiage, but
the idea behind the pre-authorization is so that we don't have to wait 2 or 3 weeks come and ask for authorization from Commissioner's Court and for a funding source for that, for each time we decide to file a lawsuit. Hopefully what this does is gives us the authorization to go forward, and I don't think it will take very many before it starts to get to be known that you can't do that. So we will target the worst offenders. We will go after them. We'll go after them aggressively, and we think that will probably hopefully make some fall into line after that. But what it allows us to do is, instead of waiting 2 weeks and everything's already done, we can go into the court and ask for immediate relief and have them a court order telling them they have to basically comply with the statute and comply with giving us notice and the other things under the statute,
yeah.
Or they can't work.
Would that be in a JP court?
No, but it would be in district court.
Is this just for the notice? What if we go out there and we see they've tore up a mile and a half of ditch and they haven't done anything about it? They gave us notice they were going to do it, but they have not fixed or repaired anything after they've torn it up.
This
is just the notice.
This is legal action related to failure to give notice, but under that 240-907, it also says that $500 for cutting the road is in addition to any other charge the county is authorized to impose by repair damage because of the cut or anything else that they tore up. So we can go after them for when they screw up or they don't do what they're supposed to do or don't put it back.
Roadway instead of just the road.
Amy.
That'll cover the ditch, you know.
It includes the roadway, not just the actual concrete.
BD, if you can address this, it says, and I think you're right, Commissioner, because it says here, consider, discuss, take action to authorize county attorney to pursue all legal remedies against utility companies for failure to give notice for construction. It doesn't say anything about failure to fill a hole, failure to give us...
You can expand our authorization if you want to authorize
the motion.
Absolutely. And I would for their failure to comply with the law, including failure to give notice, failure to provide the plan, all the things they're required to do under the utility code.
Whatever.
Yeah, well, it's got to have in there if they didn't follow their plans. There's got to be more to this than just not letting us know.
PD, I get a call, somebody's out there doing something, and I send my deputy out. Is he going to have something? I mean, what's going to be the procedure?
The procedure is he'll probably need to contact our office. The deputy will probably need to contact our office.
Okay. Okay.
It's not a criminal citation. It's not a violation. It's not an ordinance that we passed that's a violation that he can issue a ticket for. It is a right for us to basically enforce the laws of the state of Texas against the utility companies without having come and get pre-authorization from Commissioner
Smith. How do we reword this then in the motion? We have a motion and a second.
Certainly. I would say for failure to provide notice or any other required actions under the utility code.
Move. So second. I'd like to make a motion to amend the motion to include that. Is there a second on that?
Second.
All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Right. All in favor of the motion as it stands. We have a motion.
I move on that and he seconded.
Second.
A second. All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries.
Y'all probably just got yourself a lot of extra work.
I was going to mention that, you know, what we will probably do if we have to actually come back on several and do lawsuits, we will follow up with a resolution authorizing and designating a funding source for any court cost. You know,
PD,
that we
incur. This will get there.
And I guess it would work the same way, but I have POAs call me. And these people are in their subdivision running whatever they run. Would the POA need to call your office or me or?
Oh, yeah, they could. I mean, the POA is not going to know if they've given notice to the engineering department or whatever.
True. Yeah, but they're tearing up ditches. They're not fixing them.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's going on right now.
Yeah, a lot depends if they are.
Well, I can give you a name of a group.
Right. And with regard to the HOAs or POAs, it would depend if they were private streets or if they're county maintained.
I can give you a name of a bunch of them. Any of them. It don't matter.
Okay. So we have the motion and it is passed on that particular item.
Yeah. Now, be also on your resolution and order, I think, or that you bring back, that just any, you know, cost associated with it comes out of the commissioner budget that's filing the, you know, that has the issue, and then, or, you know, if there's money in that $500 fund, I guess it could come from there as well.
Certainly.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, BD. All right. Are there any citizens who would like to make any comments on any of the issues we've discussed today or anything else? If not, is there any other miscellaneous things we need to discuss? Yes. Come forward, if you would, please. Under citizens' comments, correct? State your name and for the record and the purpose.
Yeah, my name is Landon Estay, and I'm here representing the South Montgomery Girls Softball League. I want to thank Evan B. Song with Commissioner Nowak's office and Jennifer Fox with the County Attorney's office, because recently we received a new use agreement, you know, for our fields over at near the County Commissioner's office. And at first, we were concerned that it could essentially end in the softball league and as well as baseball and football. However, a lot of problems can be solved with just sitting down and talking. And that's exactly what these people did. Todd Leach, who was a former president of the South Montgomery Girls Softball League, spoke with Evan. I've also spoken on the phone with Jennifer to express our concerns. And we're going to have revisions made to these agreements, and we will continue to have a very great youth softball league. And I know the rest of the county, we've got a lot of good athletes out there, and I'm looking forward to the future of youth sports. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
And thank you so much for coming and sharing that with us. Are there any other citizen comments or any miscellaneous? If not, I have a motion to adjourn.
Move.
Second? All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Commissioner.
Okay,
for our toll road.
Oh, man.
Montgomery County Toll Authority.
Move.
Evan?
We're going to bring the meeting of the Montgomery County Toll Road Authority to order. Let the record show everyone's here. We've got one agenda item, 3A, consider and approve engineering services agreement with half associates, and authorize Bruce Berger and Robert Castaneda to execute all documents related to on behalf of the Toll Road Authority.
Move. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank y'all. Adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
We're adjourned. Thank y'all.
Thank you all.
Yeah.